Last week, we continued our summer in the Psalms, digging into Psalm 127. We heard our call as builders to seek the Lord in everything that we build, in our lives, in our community, in our world, knowing God will equip us for all we are called to do for God's kingdom. This morning, we are studying Psalm 19, written by David, which declares the glory of the Lord through all creation. When it was written, many were worshiping sun gods as the providers of justice. David proclaims that Israel's God is the creator of the heavens, including the sun, and that God alone establishes justice on the earth. We will read the psalm responsively, where I will read the leader part and you will read the congregational cues on the screen. A reading of Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of the Lord, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he will set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever.
The ordinances
of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Serveth more. Keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back from your servant from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
The words of my mouth,
the meditation of my heart, be accepted to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning. Words are powerful, aren't they? The word of the Lord. On July 4th, that morning, there was a 5K, 10K race. Anybody run it? We have a few people run it. No? We have we volunteered there, me and a few of the youth, as a fundraiser opportunity, and so we were volunteering, and my job this year was to, about three-quarters of the way through the 5K race, there was a turn that the 5Kers had to make, and the 10Kers were going to go straight. So it was my job to make sure that they did that. So 5K turn, 10K go straight. So 300 runners or so yelling this all the time as they're running at you, 5K turn, 10K straight, 5K turn. So words are powerful because the reaction the 5Kers got when you told them 10K go straight was almost immediate, right? I mean, they were like, one in particular was like, 10K? Yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah.
And then and then turns the corner. Words are powerful. In fact, 16,000, 16,000. That's the number on average that the basic human speaks in a day of words. 16,000 words. My question is, and this is where my mind goes, do you raise that average?
Yes.
Or do you lower that average? Now, if you really want to dig into this, does your spouse raise that average? See, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot stick. 16,000. They say that there's over 6,500 languages in our world today. Some estimate up to 7,200 languages in our world today. Speech is powerful. Language is powerful. Words are powerful. They can do a lot of good, and they can also do a lot of harm. We all know the, I think it's a nursery rhyme, sticks and stones can break my bones, but Yeah, if you lived 3 days on earth, you know that's a big lie, right? Words are powerful. In fact, the shortest verse of the Bible, I think, speaks a lot to this. Does anybody know the shortest verse of the Bible? I'll even tell you where it comes from. John 11. Yeah, I heard it. Jesus wept. John 11, verse 25. Jesus wept. Just two words. But if you think about it, I mean, those are some complicated, deep, profound words. Jesus wept. Powerful. Powerful words. Words are powerful. And so I think Psalm 19 gives us three words. Three words. And maybe you want to call them books or three kind of words or books that is given to us to kind of display what life is all about. So let me shape this a little bit more. I'll even tell you what I think these three words are saying. There are three words in all of creation that proclaim or tell us who God is. God has created in his order three ways, three words that allow us, that allow the world to operate, to live. These three words point to Jesus. These three words share the glory of God. They give us God's handiwork. What are these words? Well, Psalm 19 breaks it down pretty beautifully for us. The first word that we're given is creation. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech. The night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the earth, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. So the sun and all of creation proclaims the glory of God by just being. I mean, did you hear that last verse? The sun just comes up and sets, and in doing so is proclaiming God's handiwork. By running its course in the sky, the sun is delivering the message of God's greatness, of God's glory. And think about it, isn't it true? We call this God's general revelation. A sunset or a sunrise. A painted canopy in the sky of beauty, looking out over the twilight, the sun and the stars and the moon. Or what about the vastness? Have you ever stood over the ocean? Or looked up with grandness over the landscape of a mountain range? The beauty of creation proclaims the glory of God. God's handiwork is revealed to us, all around us, in God's creation. Paul picks this up in Romans 1. For what was made known to them, it became simple, for it was all around them. Creation proclaims the glory of God. God's handiwork, God's glory, is given to us through his first word, the word of creation. So what is the second word? The second word, according to Psalm 19, is Scripture. It's God's word. Listen to verse 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, ever much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Did you see those words that share what happens when one comes down to Scripture? Reviving, rejoicing, enlightening, enduring, making righteous. This is God's word. Over 66 books, over 40 authors, over 1,000 years, and yet it tells the one grand epic story. This is God's specific revelation to us. God's glory is revealed and God's handiwork is proclaimed in Scripture because it points to it, tells us God's saving work, what is found in Christ, the Jesus. We're given this specific revelation, and sometimes we get confused about this. Because sometimes we think, well, it changes the way I think, so it must be a theology book. Or it tells the history of Israel, so it must be a history book or a fact book. But its bottom line, Scripture is a book of faith. Because it creates a relationship. It tells you the will of God. The character of God. And in doing so, it tells you your purpose and your meaning. Who you are called to be. Scripture proclaims the glory of God. Scripture has given us to point to Jesus. To proclaim God's handiwork. But what about that third word? If we have creation, if we have Scripture, what is that third word that's given to us? Well, it's you and I. It's me and it's you. Listen to verse 11 on. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them is a great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The purpose of you and I is to proclaim God's handiwork, to share the glory of God in all that we do and all that we say. We are made, we are given a purpose in who we are created to be and who we are created to reveal. You and I are made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. We're made in his likeness. And in such, we are called to proclaim the glory of God. In all that we do, in all of our lives, to share God's goodness and God's greatness by our words and our actions. The purpose of human beings, the purpose of you and I, is to share God's glory. Creation, Scripture, and us. Those are the three words that God has given to us. That God has given to the world. Creation. I remember this was a while back. There was two young men walking in a park. And one of them was talking about the greatness of God. And the other one wasn't having anything of it. And so the one was trying to explain how God works and the character of God. And the one said, well, if God's so powerful, then have him do a miracle. Show me a miracle of God. And the Christian just pointed at a tree and said, well, what about that? And the guy said, well, it's just a tree. I mean, no big deal. And then the Christian said, well, let's see you make one. Creation proclaims the glory of God. What about Scripture? Romans 10, Paul talks about there's only one way to know who Jesus Christ is. And that's through the Word. The Word made flesh is revealed in the Word itself. And so there's no way to know who Jesus is and to know God's will and God's character. And it's no way to be even a Christian without understanding, without being in, without dwelling, without living and breathing God's Word. God has chosen to reveal himself and his glory in his word. If we're going to follow him, we better know his word. And what about you and I? Creation, God's word, and you and I. What about us? How do we reveal God's glory? What does it look like to have a relationship with God? It's a tough question. What does that look like? And so I was curious what people thought, and so I asked. I sent out a message and I just asked different age groups and different people from walks of life, what does it look like to have a relationship with God? Here are some of the things that I got. There's a drastic change in my heart and in my behavior. I want to be better than I was before. To blindly trust, to eagerly pursue, and to love unconditionally. To humbly accept and to submit control in all areas of my life. To know Jesus and to let Jesus know me. It's a change of a person, a heart that's on fire, and the presence of the fruit of the Spirit. a total surrender of life to Him. It's a relationship that balances these four things: praying, worshiping, reading the Bible, and loving. They are like legs of a table. You need them all. That's what complete trust and confidence and reassurance is. So I'll end with this. Creation is crying out, revealing the glory of God. God's word is crying out, revealing the glory of God. What about you and me? Are we crying out and revealing the glory of God? Creation will not stop until God tells it to create and to proclaim and to share the goodness of God. God's word will continue to go out and create and proclaim the glory of God. But the wild card, the one catch, is you and me. Will we proclaim the glory of God? To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.